good. We covered a lot of bases.
It was, we explored every secret you've ever wanted to know.
Oh, man. I think we talked about some good stuff just for us to talk about.
And then what happened?
And then it... I need to, like...
Our astral forces were so strong, they short-circuited the recording.
It got dumped somehow. But so we're recording this Esoterra Nerd short episode to let people know about an upcoming interview. We're going to try to have Joe Shantz on this time. He wasn't able to make it this time, but we're going to try to have him on next time. Now, just for people who are listening, what's the name of the book that they can get on Amazon right now?
Azrael. Yeah, if it doesn't come up when you type in just Azrael, then you could add in Hermetic Invocation of the Angel of Death.
And that's Azrael.
Yes.
And that is a classic Golden Dawn, traditional Golden Dawn, style ritual invocation of the Archangel of Death.
Yes.
And yeah. Appropriate for this time of year, Halloween coming up?
Yeah. Samhain is the time to break out death and angels of transformation.
When the veil is thinnest.
Yeah, sorry, it's hard not to smile because, you know, we just finished talking about all the stuff and we're doing it again.
Right, I know.
How do you make it sound organic when you have just done it? Well, yeah. So, yes, if there's a bit of smiling in our tone of voice.
Yeah,
you can hear
yeah.
smiles, so.
But people who know the stuff, you know it's there. You can use it word for word, or if you read through it and go, oh, I see, he's got a veil here. What he really meant to say was... what was the part? The heaven and the earth, upon the earth and under the earth, on dry land and in the water, of boiling air and of rushing fire, and every spell, scourge of God, the vast one, obedient unto me.
Yeah.
If you prefer that version, you can substitute that over what's written there, which is also very poetic and says basically the same thing.
You know why I changed that, actually? Because I noticed that between, Isis and Thoth and some of the other invocations that are really, you know, important to our tradition, I noticed they often did make slight changes to the final exhortation, which is, of course, from the Emerald Tablet.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that bit at the end is from the Emerald Tablet. So
yeah.
there's definitely a fixed form of it that we have. But I noticed a lot of the invocations changed, some of it, to sync in with the theme and the flavor of the energy being invoked. So, so I changed
that
it to
sense.
Match the theme of Azrael, just as I noticed, you know, other invocations change to match, line up with other deities and powers.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, we're looking forward to that. Thank you for taking this past 2 hours to do this 5-minute blurb, and hopefully this time this will record. And I apologize to everybody for the technical problems we're having here on the Esoteric Nerd Podcast, plus the month-long gap between the previous episode and this one. But there it is.
Well, and we will be covering also some of the stuff about Samhain and the Celtic New Year.
Yeah, as well as Yeats, and we talked about transcendental meditation, we talked about cults, and we talked about a lot of deep stuff, and it's unfortunate that it didn't record. But
you know, we'll get into it again next week with...
And he'll have his experience to draw from, and so it won't be the same conversation again.
Yeah. But yeah, cool. For anyone who wants to go and download it, it's free until the 22nd. So you can download it for free. And it really is the invocation that you're getting. And then I put in a bit more information for those who might want to just, you know, see what the structure I would use is, or you or I would use is. Of course, I don't get into explaining how things like LBRP and VRH and all that stuff.
Right, it's assumed that people have a basic understanding.
Yeah. And I only really put in the structure there so that, you know, someone who might not be quite ready at that point to follow that structure could see where they could go. But also so that someone like you would say, okay, he's seeing it as in fitting within this basic traditional context.
Right.
And once an adept like yourself saw that, he would know, okay, I can then adapt it in all of these different ways, therefore.
And in the end, you're meditating with Azrael, or if you will, on death.
Yeah.
And that it can have a healing effect. There can be layers of difficulty, maybe even deep sorrow or anger on the way to a sort of peace that eventually comes from. from this kind of work and meditation, I'd say, in my experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, it's not a permanent solution. Like, you don't get to the peace and then you never have the sorrow again. Sometimes you got to go through those other layers again, and there it is.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, Asriel's been a big role in my life, transformatively, in helping me, you know, let go of certain things. I think Asriel's the god you should call to, like, break an addiction or break a bad pattern in your life, or even just if you feel like you're done with your life as it is, you know, maybe instead of suicide, do some intense prayer and invocation and see what the angel of death thinks. I mean, in theory, this is some heavy stuff that I'm treating almost lightly because it sort of helps balance it. If we're hitting that dark time of the year, the highest rates for suicide for people who are depressed or sad, and, you know, if you have dark thoughts, take them to a dark place. That was actually something that I discovered when I was doing a really interesting bit of research on the stone Minasurin, because that was one of those mystical things that
right.
I mentioned in the 3-8 initiation, I believe, that no one ever talked about. I spent, like, months studying for this lecture on it for a special class, and I did a lot of research.
If thou shalt see a terrestrial thing approaching, cry aloud and sacrifice a stone Minasurin.
Yeah, and so going deeply into the Kibiric mysteries, and Samothrace, I discovered that there's the idea there, and it fits in with alchemy really well, is that you purify a metal by itself, by its own self. So if you have afflicted Mars, you want to invoke Mars. You don't want to actually try and counterbalance it with Jupiter.
Venus.
You don't want to do that. You want to bring in the purified form of the metal. That would be how, you know, alchemy would explain it. If you want to,
that makes sense.
If you look at Paracelsus up through Julius
and
Bola.
Anger issues.
Yeah. Right. That's why martial arts helps a lot of people with anger issues, right?
Yeah.
The thing itself can purify a thing. Looking at the Kibiric mysteries, I discovered that it's when you're feeling dark or sad or having these harder emotional states, it is actually the best thing to go into the mysteries of the highest, or of the kind of darkness that you're dealing. And that's why I'm going to put out my next book, which is quite, a longer piece on the Tunnels of Set and the Seven Deadly Sins, as they're treated by St. John of the Cross and, of course, Kenneth Grant.
Maybe that's why we used to listen to Pretty Hate Machine when we were teenagers, huh?
Absolutely. I think it's an alchemical philosophy that proves very largely true, and you can see it in many forms of modern psychology.
Or that Vast album, the self-titled album.
Funny that you mentioned Vast. I've been recently listening to that more and actually talking with John Crosby, who is Vast, John, for the singer
nice.
Of the band. Yeah, he just went to L.A. and played his first two shows in something like 4 or 5 years.
How cool.
At Whiskey A Go-Go and somewhere else. He's got and just re-released the first album on vinyl, so that's a really powerful album if you like hermetic spiritual symbolism, you know.
Yeah.
He's got issues with Jesus and himself and women and everything.
Yeah, it's all familiar stuff.
He lives in Seattle now, right? So he's just down the road.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Well, is that right if I close with your song, Darkly Splendid World?
Yeah, we probably need to give a bit of background if you want to do that. So why don't we just take 2 minutes and explain
that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, so, we talked before. After I finished, after the GD here split with the U.S. and there was that schism. I finished did grad school and then went to Europe and lived over in Europe doing a PhD with Nicholas Goodrich Hart in Western Esotericism before it closed at the University of Exeter with his death. So that's the preamble for, while I was there, I started taking poetry I'd written over the years, because the reason I wrote this invocation and wrote other invocations which got highly circulated. And you mentioned earlier when we talked that you thought a few years ago you saw my name on a bunch of PDFs being circulated. To be clear, that was not me. This is the first and only thing I've ever released.
Not the same Fred or RC.
Definitely not the same person. I mean, there's
lots
of them.
That's on Scribd, Scribdt. like if you search for, or BD, if you search for specific key phrases like Golden Dawn Requiem, or, you know, things that were in our second order material, it comes up on there. So.
Really? Yeah, that definitely wasn't me. This is the first thing I've released, and it's free right now, of course. Once it starts making money, I put the price at $7.77, but that was sort of, I mean, this was all experimentation. Just to, and something for myself to, you know, really take this Halloween seriously and this opportunity to release and let go seriously. It's a powerful time for that, no matter what your religious or spiritual persuasion. And yeah, I put and the just well, you know, the response has been so huge. That, yeah, I mean, why? Who am I to hold back the things that have helped me? And again, if I've anything I've written original, if it helped me, it will probably help someone else. And I owe a lot of thanks to the people who taught me and trained me, you know, especially in the early days in the 90s. You know, I was 15 when I joined the Golden Dawn. You were 16, right? And we're like the youngest group ever, really, people ever. And we all sort of came in around the same time. And that was a powerful moment. So I thank the people that taught me. I know you mentioned before conflict with some of you, like, you know, obviously Robert's a contentious figure in our world, but all the leaders really have their own, you know, there's a lot of stuff.
It was the repetition of the idea that you got more good out of it than there was harm.
Right,
That made me think that it was...
Anytime you have a group of people with a leader, there's going to be problems, and if the current election doesn't show
that. Exactly.
The current election doesn't remind you of that.
This, you know, there's some truth in those things, but the particular spin or emphasis on, you know, that, oh, well, you know, the sort of things, getting fed semen against our consent, you know, whatever, things like that.
I've never heard of anything like that.
The Trump thing when they're saying, oh, everybody grabs pussies. That's how every guy talks. It's like, yeah, right. These things are problems in other organizations, but these were particularly poisonous individuals that a lot of people had a lot of painful experience with.
Yeah.
I don't want to see glossed over as, well, there's always abuse.
You know, as well, there is always abuse. That is not an excuse for abuse. Let's definitely actually make that a topic, because Azriel is a great angel to oversee a conversation about, you know, organizations and systemic abuse.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's definitely focus on that next week and stuff. You know, maybe we can even let people have questions between now and then if they want to post them on your page that we can answer.
For sure. Yeah. I'll probably, you know, splice some of that stuff out. But
yeah, so the idea of Azriel, like, entering and purifying and all those sort of issues is why I wrote it, why I've been using it for so long. And it helps. It's just a powerful, powerful invocation and prayer. I mean, there's prayers that the Christian church had to outlaw because their priests were getting lost in doing them and finding ecstatic realities within them.
Yeah,
we also had a very interesting conversation on the lost footage of on metaphysics and emanationism, so we can touch on that again next week.
For sure, yeah. Looking forward to it, and hopefully we can
just to finish up with the song. So when I moved over there after I left the order, or more or less, we'll talk about that too, all the tapes. Yeah, I started putting some of my songs to music. Of course, I didn't know how to play any instruments, or I had never sung except outside the choir. So, yeah, it was an interesting experience. And if you want to wrap up with this song, the lyrics of which are explicitly linked to, of course, our tradition, the Hermetic tradition.
Yeah,
but, you know, like everything, I mean, if you don't learn self-responsibility for your own spiritual transformation in whatever group or system you are practicing, get out.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, and it's always good to learn to walk away from abuse.
For sure.
So.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, so you're going to play Darkly Splendid World, hey? Do you want to give some folks some background on what some of the lyrics are drawn from, since I don't think anyone's ever talked about this song before?
Well, really popularized by the watchtower of the Stella Matutina, line comes from the Chaldean oracles, which are also in the Practicus initiation. There's a longer portion, you know, that it kind of comes from, but the shorter portion is the one that's attributed to the Earth Quadrant in the Watchtower, where the magician or priest says, "Stoop not down into that darkly splendid world, wherein continually lieth a faithless depth, and Hades wrapped in clouds or gloom. Precipitous winding, a black ever-rolling abyss, ever espousing a body formless, unluminous, and void." And it seems, I mean, all the other, it's all about fire, is all about, behold the formless fire, and then water is all about, but first you must become priest of the water, and then the air is like, oh, but the fire flits through the air, and it's like you get to earth, and it's like, stoop not down. And to me, it kind of has a little bit of a ring of that sort of immediately post-Puritan Victorian kind of, you know, oh, the temptations of the flesh are there to keep you, like the dog-faced demons arising in the form of your sister telling you to come to Thanksgiving and not to go to that cult up in Seattle again. You know,
Yeah. So there's some tones of Gnosticism, of proto-Gnosticism there.
Right, yeah.
You know. And not the good Gnosticism, the bad Gnosticism.
Yeah.
We can talk about what the difference is next week.
But the specific experience, you know, having to do with the group we were in and learning to cry and I definitely relate with all of that.
Yeah.
When people were like leaving the order or having severe issues with the order, sometimes I'd play them that song just so they knew they weren't alone.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I did sort of write it. It is sort of a lament for what I lost because, as we talked about before, I actually never left or was thrown out actually either. I mean, I just I was running Canada, so you know, and everyone in Canada was wanting to separate from the States due to the politics with George Bush that were going on and the way it was being treated, and eventually, and what, you know, it's sort of like it was mutiny basically. So I was like, okay, I guess if you're steering the ship this way and putting me in my cabin's plop, what am I gonna do? I can rail against the wall or just let the ship go the direction. If they think we're heading for a storm with all this politics down south, then let's steer away. Of course, then things got even more complicated.
Yeah,
so, and then I just, then I left town. I finished school. I moved to do my PhD in Europe. So, you know, that you, and that's focusing on yourself and your own transformation. I mean, spiritually, it had brought me to the point where transformation, where Asriel had guided my hand away from that which had led me to him. So, you know, to say it in those, in Hermetic terms, I mean, that was, you know, Asriel work, communing with that angel, praying to that angel, had a really powerful effect in helping me get through my Hermetic training and spirituality, learning how to use it so that it would be a benefit to the rest of my life. I mean, that's the whole point of the alchemical lesser and greater circulation. The lesser circulation you do in the alembic, and then you finish it, then you move out of the alembic into the actual world of nature, the massive alembic of nature, the greater circulation, and that's when you apply it to purifying your entire life. And that might mean you need to be pulled away from a group or from a teacher or groups and teachers and off into the world, be an adept of the world for a while. Maybe it'll lead you back to a group or start your own group or whatever, I don't know.
Interesting. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I do need to get started on some other things. But
10 minutes became 20, as always, with people like you and me. Well, it's good to talk to you. It's been so many years.
Absolutely.
You know, you and
hopefully we'll do this next week with Joe, and we'll get into some deeper stuff.
Excellent. So here's the song. Enjoy it. It's got banjo, fiddle, and lute, I believe.
Excellent.
And it's actually recorded in the Anglican church where I trained as a priest.
Nice.
Yeah, so I'm staying in the same place where I would give homilies every Sunday.
Very cool. Love you, brother. Thank you again.
I love you too, man. Take care.
You too. Talk soon.
Oh.